This year was one of the more interesting years to talk with people about Lent. And it's been very fascinating to me. There's been a great deal of discussion, perhaps more than I can ever remember in my adult life. Maybe it's because I'm more plugged in electronically, people talking on, say, Facebook or something on the internet. But there was more talk about what Lent actually means and what our experiences of Lent are all about. And there was a great deal of discussion as to whether in America primarily we've missed the point of Lent, because Fat Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday, is the day when we celebrate or overindulge in our abundance. And then on Ash Wednesday, everything comes crashing down because we give up something, be it coffee or chocolate or wine or alcohol or whatever it is that we end up giving up. Some people give up nowadays. It's very fashionable to give up the internet itself for the 40 days of Lent. And there was a lot of talk between my friends and colleagues as to whether that was really what Lent was all about. That Lent is really more broadly understood than that. And Lent is about giving up ourselves to Jesus. It's not about what I can put away in my abundance and temporarily going on a fast for 40 days and 40 nights, but it's about preparing myself for God. And that's why we have in this story from Mark's gospel, this understanding of Jesus being baptized, and then immediately he goes out into the wilderness. In my translation, it's translated desert, because wilderness doesn't mean the same thing to us that it does to people in the Middle East. When they talk about wilderness, they mean places that are desert-like, that are absent of the normal comforts of home. You and I think of the wilderness as some place that's kind of nice and there's lots of greenery and things like that. Well, in the Middle East, wilderness means lack or neglect. So anytime the wilderness is mentioned in the Bible, it's a key word. It means that we have to rely on God's grace, that we don't receive anything from our own power anymore. Jesus goes out into the wilderness knowing that he has to rely on his Father's purposes and his Father's will. And we know this because in other places in the Bible, that's what happens. That the time of Lent is not just about giving up what you have out of abundance, but relying totally on God carrying you. So, for example, two of the examples that come from the Old Testament is what happens when the Israelites end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They can no longer rely on the provisions that they had. When they were in Egypt, they could rely on their farms and their homes and that sort of thing. But once they cross the Red Sea, they're out in the wilderness for 40 years, and they have to rely on God for what they're going to receive. It gets so bad that God has to feed them with the miracle of quails and manna. You remember that story? That they were nearly starving and God provided for them with bread from heaven and quails from heaven. And that was what they were able to eat. That was what they were able to use to survive. But it wasn't something they had planted in the ground. It wasn't something that they had grown from a calf up to a full-grown animal that they could share with their family. They had to rely on God for it. Another example of wilderness in the Old Testament is the time when the Israelites in the 6th century before Jesus were exiled out of the land. They were taken out of the land. They were picked up, taken out by the Babylonians, and they had to live far away from their homeland. And the question was, how do we live as faithful people when it seems that everything around us has fallen apart? That we have no more place to worship. We have no more place to teach Sunday school to our kids. We have no more of the cultural things, the glue that holds us together. And bit by bit, piece by piece, they relied on God's grace, continued to tell the stories to their children, continued to preach and teach, and built up from nothing. So the wilderness is really about everything being taken away. It's really about submitting your life to God and not just giving up something of your abundance. Now, for us, that's hard to get our head around because we don't live in a situation where we have to rely on God's grace for everything. But imagine for a minute with me, if you will, that you're reading this scripture somewhere else in the world. It's probably never been more dangerous, at least in my adult life, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. 21 Coptic Christians in Libya were martyred 2 weeks ago just because they believed in Jesus Christ. They were killed by ISIS. And all you have to do is say in some parts of the world, 21, and people automatically know that you're talking about religious persecution. In Mexico right now, 43 students disappeared off a bus and were never found. 43 students disappeared because they were witnesses or rabble-rousers, I guess you would call it, who were trying to hold the governor's feet to the fire about good laws and the governor's family, about anti-corruption. 43 people disappeared. And the police are the ones who saw to it that they disappeared. You say the number 43 in Mexico, and people know immediately what you're talking about. In our culture, it's entirely different. So it's hard for us to get our head around that kind of persecution. We fortunately don't have that kind of persecution, but I would submit to you that our abundance, in a strange sort of way, is killing us. Our abundance is killing us because we believe that if we just give up a Starbucks a week or chocolate, then that will make us closer to God. But it doesn't. I propose to you that our abundance is killing us because it makes Christianity seem too easy. That as long as you check off these things on the list, it'll all be okay. It'll all work out just fine. There's no wilderness. As long as you like the proper page on Facebook or forward the right email to your friends, then you're a Christian. Part of the discussion that I had with my friends on Facebook, of all things, was about some places were starting to give, and I've talked to a couple of you about this, some places were starting to give drive-by ashes on Ash Wednesday for people who were too busy to go to church. That you could just go and get drive-by ashes. And on the one hand, I get it. I think it's a cool idea. But on the other hand, I worry greatly about the message that it sends, that you're too busy to get the ashes, so here's a substitute. You're too busy to actually make a commitment to Jesus. You've got other stuff to do, so the ashes are just sort of an add-on, an afterthought. And I'm not quite sure. I could be persuaded either way, but I'm concerned about it. It bothers me. Drive-by ashes. Yet God's answer to the people in the wilderness is answered in Isaiah and again in other places in the Bible. In Isaiah 55, God says this to his people, and this is when they are in the wilderness of the exile. They're wondering, how in the world are we going to put our life back together? God says to the people, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. God is saying to the Israelites through Isaiah that unless we rely on God's grace, our hungers will never be filled. Unless we rely on God's grace, our hungers will never be filled. You always want more. You always want more. You've heard this study, and I've told you about this before. They've measured people's happiness after they've won the lottery. We all think, oh, that'd be great to win the lottery. But it's not that great. It's not that great to win the lottery because you always want more. You just move up to a new level of wanting more. You're having trouble making bills meet now. You know, you're having trouble making ends meet. When you win the lottery, you buy bigger things. And you still have trouble making ends meet. And it goes on and on and on. And tonight on the Oscars, you will watch people whose lives are tattered and torn and empty. Tattered and torn and empty. But they've got everything in the world that you and I could ever need, right? They've got fame. They've got money. But they also have alcoholism, drug abuse, plastic surgery, addiction to acquiring things. Unless God fills that hole, unless God fills it up, we will always be hungry. So the question then becomes, how do we rely on God's grace? What does it mean to rely 100% on God's grace? Very few of us know how to do it. Because we rely on our paycheck, we rely on the help of friends and neighbors and that sort of thing. How do you say to God, I rely entirely on your grace? I think it comes from Matthew's gospel. And I think it comes from verse 16:24. To rely totally on God's grace means this, according to Jesus. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone wants to follow me, would come after me, they must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the answer in the wilderness. That's the answer. Now, it's not a specific answer. It doesn't tell you exactly what you need to do. It doesn't say, Joseph, here's exactly what you need to do, what denying yourself and taking up your cross means. And I think that's on purpose, because your cross is going to be different from my cross. The cross of the people I met in the Philippines is going to be entirely different than the cross that I have to bear or you have to bear in the United States. My cross is much different from the cross that the Copts, who were slain for their faith, had to bear. So my understanding today is that we can't wear Christianity as a fashion, that abundance kills our discipleship, and instead what we are to do is to say to God, I will take up that cross. And that's why we have Ash Wednesday, and that's why we have the ashes, because quite literally, ashes are a sign of the wilderness. What does Jesus have out in the wilderness? Not a whole heck of a lot. Mark thinks it's so unremarkable, uninteresting, he only devotes one verse to it. That Jesus went out into the wilderness to contend with Satan, and the wild beasts were out there. I'm sure there were ashes at the pit of a fire that Jesus had lit to keep himself warm. So I encourage you this Lent, find something to devote yourself to that takes up that cross. Pray hard for someone. You know somebody who's suffering. Make that person the person you're going to pray for all throughout Lent. Lent is not about just chocolate or giving up caffeine or beer or whatever it is that you give up. It's also about changing your life and turning it over to Jesus Christ. It's also about turning over what you want to do. It's also about turning yourself over to God and taking up that cross. And quite literally, the sign of the cross on your forehead in ashes is taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you wish, at this time, I would invite you to come forward and receive ashes as a sign of
for grace to get you through the wilderness times. Because wilderness is, as we said, it's an opportunity, yet it's also a danger. It's bold in the Bible when times wilderness shows up. So pray that you may indeed take your cross and receive from Christ what Christ gives willingly.
Some announcements this morning. You heard the children's song So we would like you to hold on to oatmeal containers. Praise his name with drums. We've got bells. Praise his name with bells. Praise his name with drums. You put a little thing over the top with a rubber band on it, and you can make a drum out of those oatmeal containers, those round oatmeal containers. So we would like to make some for the kids to have instruments when we do our kids' song. So please take note of that. Also, there are Easter flower forms in the pews, and the deadline will be Sunday, March the 15th. So if you're interested in having flowers here for Easter Sunday, please make sure you turn that in to the church office or to you. Okay. Tonight, there is a group of us meeting with a potential new member at 6 o'clock, and I'm glad that some of the folks are going to help me with that. It's just a discussion about membership, and if you have any questions about that, I will be more than happy to answer them. The schedule for the week, hopefully the weather will cooperate. Monday, choir at 7, Tuesday, Bible study at 10 a.m. We're in the book of Tobit. Then Wednesday is the cluster service at 7:30. We're looking for donations of finger sandwiches and crackers and cheese and desserts. There's a sign up on the office door